Welcome to the Married Man Show with Married Man Jack. That's me. Married Man Jay. That's him. And newly resident of the worst city in America, Los Angeles, California, single guy, Nick.
I don't live in Baltimore. What are you talking about?
Hey, I like Baltimore. Baltimore's cool.
Yeah, I mean, I would have to concur that LA is the worst city in the United States, at least.
I said United States,
didn't I? I thought you said the world. I thought you said the world, but I might be wrong.
I haven't been to every city in the world, but I have been, and people in Los Angeles are getting mad. Wait till you get out of traffic, wait 2 hours for you out of traffic, then call the show to complain about what I said.
Well, the beauty of modern technology, Jack, is that while they're in traffic, they can still call into the show. 510-69-TAFFY.
I don't want them being distracted from what they're doing because
it's LA traffic. They're not moving at all. They're at no risk.
At any point, they could get up to 5 miles an hour, and I don't want them causing a pileup.
That's good. That's a good
on the 405 or the 15 or the 101. We don't want any we don't want any problems up there in LA.
I will say, being in California for a week or so for Comic-Con, we're driving a lot, Colleen and I, and there was a lot of the Californians joke. It's a stupid sketch on SNL, but the funniest thing they do is like when they describe directions. So I was like, okay, we're going to take the 5 to the 97 to the 15 to the 8 to the 67 to just like, what the hell is up with that?
Most people I know in California, especially San Diego, don't give freeways. Just go, yeah, you know where the stadium's at?
Yeah, no, that's go what to the you stadium. Do. You don't have any sense of direction. So I feel like but
I could tell you how to get anywhere with landmarks. You know where the sports arena is at? Okay, just get to the sports arena. It's right around the corner.
Yeah, but like that's
a very guy way of directions, though, and Southern, too, because it is exactly like, oh, go to that post hole where the old McDonald's used to be, then take a left, and then because that's just the way it is. It's more visual, like, because who can remember street names?
Well, not here in North Carolina. There's too many damn trees. Yeah. It's like, go past that big row of trees down the... Oh, wait a minute. It just goes on for... It goes until you get to almost... Just past almost Richmond. Then the trees stop. Mm-hmm. Because they gutted the trees.
Yeah.
You've made the trip up the 95. It's like tree, 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 tree. Oh, yeah. Does anything change here? It's the same thing.
I mean, it's just... there's a stretch there on 85 in Virginia and North Carolina where it's all trees. But then it starts to open up a little bit. But still, I like the trees. I like the freeways.
Hey, I have nothing against I have nothing against trees. But it's once in a while I want to see something else. It's like you finally get on Marlboro. What's the company that owns Marlboro and all that stuff? Philip Morris. You see that? You go, all right, finally I get to civilization. I see the big giant Marlboro sign. Let's go get some cigarettes.
Oh, pack of smokes.
Well, you do see it as you're driving up there. You can't help but see it.
Yeah, you're not too far from Winston-Salem. I mean, you're in the heart of tobacco country.
That is true.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
Well, there's still tobacco farms. You know, cigarettes are still cheap, so they tax the gas really high. So it's great. It's great. It's great for smokers. I'm not a smoker, though, so.
Yeah, if you're a smoker, this is where you should be living.
Yeah.
Tobacco Row. I mean, you shouldn't be. I don't know why you're wasting. Like, people in California, why the hell are you even smoking there?
Yeah.
Actually,
it's too expensive. Or New York City. New York City.
It's insane to buy like a carton of cigarettes here. Not that I smoke, but yeah, I've seen it where they're paying people like $40 a carton. And you're like, yeah, you're mine.
My mom just, she smokes and she just goes, she just thinks it's the best thing in the world. She comes out here and buys a carton of cigarettes and she goes, oh my God, this is so. I go, well, you can stop. And then I run real quick because she gets upset with that.
She's tried to stop, okay, Jack? Why do you got to make her feel bad?
She tried to stop?
I don't know.
Yeah, she cut back to 7 packs a day. Because when she was pregnant with me, I think she had like 10 packs of cigarettes a day. That's why I have a nick. That's why I came, you know.
10 packs a day?
I don't know what she's smoking. I give her
10 packs.
Time.
That's got to be. Well, how many are in a pack? I don't know. I've never
20.
20 in a pack. Well, Nick knew that right away.
I know. Damn.
I was going to say 20 also. Yeah. Now, I used to fuck with my. I take the wrapper, little clear wrapper, and I put it over the cigarette where you take the cigarettes out, and put her lighter inside the wrong way. So when she tries to take out a cigarette, she can't do it. It's harder now because they've made it cheaper. This plastic, so a lot of times it rips, and then it pisses her off because now she has nowhere to put her lighter.
I used to always, my dad's a lifelong smoker, That's how I knew it was 20. But I used to, they had those little exploding caps.
Oh yeah.
I used to do that probably for 2 or 3 years solid in high school. I would, each pack of cigarettes I'd see that was open to his, I'd pull one cigarette out, get a toothpick, and jam that thing as far as I could in there, and then put it back in. And I never would tell him. So he knew it, one cigarette per pack was going to explode on him.
But he was a smoker. He goes, I'm not wasting it.
Exactly.
I'm not just wasting it.
Just kept
it's
going.
It's gold, damn it. It's gold. And that's, I'm not saying that's how smokers talk. That's just my impression. That's my impression of a smoker. And if you're a smoker, again, if, especially if you're in Los Angeles, wait till you get off the freeway. Give us a call. And
well,
I used to do a great, because most bowlers back when I was bowling, that's what they did. They smoked and they drank. And I used to do this thing. I'm going to the Olympics as a bowler, and I put like 7 cigarettes in my mouth, light them all up, go up and bowl. And I'm bowling with bowling. I'm an athlete. I'm a bowler, which I thought was funny. But the other 30,000 people that bowled, they didn't think it was funny. They thought I was being rude. Because you think of it as, because, you know, bowling, you know, they say it's a sport, but really, is it a sport?
Yeah.
Can you be a good athlete if you're a chain smoker? I guess there are, but people playing tennis don't smoke when they're playing tennis.
Yeah, but tennis now you sport.
But now you can't smoke when you're, because they can't smoke in bowling alleys now.
Oh.
They outlawed it.
There's a fine definition of what is a sport, though, because do you really consider NASCAR a sport? You're really just sitting in a car driving.
Well, I think I think mentally you have to be fit mentally, just because it's a set. You're going around circles. What for five?
Not only that, but I think there's a hand eye coordination to driving a race car that makes it sport esque.
So you're saying playing video games is a sport?
No, because it's like they're actually driving a real car going 200 miles an hour.
Anything I can do is not a sport. So
you play hockey? Is that not a sport?
Well, I guess I don't play at the level of the pros, so I guess
it's still a sport. Like, just because you're not a professional sports player,
I guess it is. I guess so.
Doesn't mean you're not playing sports.
I guess that's true.
Don't sell yourself short, okay? All right. You're good. You're good enough. You're smart enough. And gosh darn it, people like you.
Maybe I should run for senator.
Why?
Minnesota. He's Al Franken. He's a senator of Minnesota, right?
Al Franken, I think so. He's one of those.
Yeah, it's one of the Midwest states. Say they're Minnesota or Wisconsin. I can't remember.
Same place.
Yeah.
All the same. You know, if you don't live there, nobody cares. So it's.
Sure, you're gonna win in a landslide.
How many different people can I upset today?
I know you're doing great. You're doing great.
So we got California.
Yep.
The Midwest.
No. I said Los Angeles.
Oh, sorry.
California. You're now up there, Nick. California's a big place.
That it is.
It's a huge. It's its own country.
It's very long. It's very long.
So if I'm insulting Los Angeles, that just means I'm insulting Los Angeles, not San Diego. Not Fresno, not Bakersfield. Okay, you can lump Bakersfield in there.
You can insult Bakersfield. Yeah,
yeah.
That's why I like the scene in Castaway when Tom Hanks finds the porta potty sign that says Bakersfield, California, and he's so excited. I was like, that's got to be the only man in history to be excited about Bakersfield, California.
It does have a smell to it.
Yeah,
it does. I mean, it's definitely a farming town, I guess, and it has like, it's because you'll. You wake up in the morning, you come outside, you go, oh, I'm in Bakersfield.
Yeah. It's oil and cows. That's all it is. Yeah. It's like Dodge City, Kansas. You can smell that town miles before you even get to it.
Is Marshall Dillon still the deputy marshal there? I'm sorry, U.S. Marshal.
U.S. Marshal.
What I love when Nick does this show?
I got him confused with Raylan Givens.
Can I say that what I love when Nick's guest hosting the show is his fake laugh for Jack's stupid jokes?
Someone's got to do it. Everyone needs an Ed McMahon.
So,
just because no one laughs at your stupid jokes.
Don't need to get censored over there, Jack. It's okay. Jokes for 51 years. It's okay. All right. So, feedback from last week's
I'm 54, by the way.
Oh, 54. Oh, I'm sorry. Happy birthday, by the way. You just turned 54. Congratulations.
Hey, thank you, man. Thank you.
Feedback from the last episode Bun Patty Bun, which
you go, you get one hamburger in your life with just the meat and the bun, and you're labeled for life.
So this feedback's from our Facebook group. If you want to join our Facebook group, it's at facebook.com/group/JayandJack group. CJ Jones says, psh, bun, patty, bun. If you don't remember, Jack went to an In-N-Out Burger, one of the greatest fast food burger places in the nation. It's ranked. It's always like in the top 10. You can't deny that.
I've seen rankings where it's not even listed.
Oh, you're full of crap.
It's also listed in the top 10 overrated.
No, show me that list. Show me that list that you didn't write.
Show me your list of greatest. I've seen it.
All right. So,
Nick agrees with me, right, Nick?
About what?
In-N-Out Burger.
It's overrated. Yeah.
There you go.
I'm not going to ask a guy who was born and raised in rural Tennessee.
Here's a list right now. We got three people. Let's take a vote. I say it's overrated. Nick?
It's overrated, but I still enjoy it.
But it's overrated.
It is overrated.
Okay, but Nick, can I ask you this question? If you go into In-N-Out Burger, do you get a burger that's just a bun, just a patty, and just a bun?
No, never. I get the double-double animal-style and animal-style fries.
Exactly.
Well,
so,
well done. Well done.
Does Jack get to have a real opinion when the burger he gets from In-N-Out Burger is just the bun,
I've had
bun?
The burger before. It's crap.
Yeah, all right. So anyways. This
overrated.
Is
it's like eating a chicken nugget with no sauce or anything. Just, oh, take the breading off. I'll just have the chicken.
Who eats a chicken nugget? Cause I don't even know what a chicken nugget is.
It's the nugget.
Any piece of chicken. Anything. You know.
It's the nugget of the chicken. All right.
You can't eat chicken without sauce.
So here we go. CJ Jones says, psh, bun, patty, bun. I would hate that too. What did you chase it with? Sand? You go, no spread or lettuce and tomato only. You need to get some wet veggies. And for God's sake, the one item where it's acceptable to use the cheese product known as American Singles. That secret sauce can F right off, though. I don't need ketchup painting my mouth.
It was wet coming up. That's all you need to know.
Oh God, come on.
Because it was in and out. That's the whole name. That's why you get the name. Really, you're an In-N-Out fan. Where did they get the name In-N-Out?
Shandy, who is one of the hosts the broadcast.
Hey, answer. Can you answer the question?
This feedback's in your favor, Jack. Do you want me to read this feedback, or do you want to keep going on a diatribe?
Yeah, I just thought you would do what you were talking about, but go ahead.
Shandy says, loved Jack's sick burn of In-N-Out Burger. I have to agree. I simply don't understand how any fast food can be considered to be so good. So here's the problem. I love Shandy, okay? I do. But this is where her super Bay Area liberal. She said, I don't know how any fast food can be considered to be good, so I can't take her opinion into account.
But you're talking about fast food like it's like a gift from God. It's fast food. It's fast food. It's not a gift from God.
Hey, what do you call Jack in the Box tacos?
I like Jack in the Box tacos.
But those are a gift from God.
Oh, I win, you lose. All right,
But I wouldn't wait in line for Jack in the Box tacos. There's no way. There's no fast food. There should be a line to wait for.
True.
Let's see here. Oh, somebody Googled the, because we talked about, I saw a better male slave Leia than Tim's male slave Leia with the full on beard. So Will Johnson posted a picture of that, which was pretty funny. Nicole Trier says there was a period of time when we had to follow our dogs, too many Dachshunds, around and put towels under them when they laid down because their glands would express themselves randomly. Like, this is like, I don't have a dog. I don't want a dog. Was it crap like that?
But
who wants to do that?
It seems like these Dachshund dogs are the ones that...
Tim had a beagle.
A beagle. Maybe we should change it to Nissan.
Nicholas Dunn, who's currently on the show, says, what the hell is this? Poop burgers and AJs? That was my best Nick impression.
leave the impressions to Tim.
It's better than Tim.
CJ Tim's did.
Just, hey, man, like there's a bun patty bun.
That does sound like Tim doing you.
Exactly.
Oh God. CJ Jones did a great Photoshop job with Jack in the Dos Equis Most Interesting Man, but instead it's called The Least Interesting Man in the World. I don't often eat cheeseburgers, but when I do, I go bun, patty, bun. And then there was another theme, you know, stuff Jack says. You just put it in the quotes in front of pictures of Donald Trump. there's a picture of Donald Trump, and the quote
You're
is,
fired.
The quote is, I've never known anyone who broke their penis. Who said it, Trump or Jack?
Well, I said that, but I'm sure Trump has too. Nick, have you known anyone who broke their penis?
Not that I can recall. No.
All right.
I don't think you'd forget something like that either.
I guess it's pretty common, but, you know. Well, I just think it's one of those things that nobody – I wouldn't go around telling people, yeah, I broke my penis.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you broke your arm. How'd you break your arm? Skiing. I broke my penis.
But, you know, if I broke my penis, it'd be something like, yeah, you know, Heidi Klum and me were just going at it. You know, the damn thing just broke. So then it's okay.
Well, related to that, John Rodriguez posted, Dennis Rodman says he broke his 3 times, blood everywhere. Ouch. That's horrible. 3 times?
Because he had a piercing through it.
Is that what he said? Is that what happened?
I don't know.
Oh, you're
saying
that means
he actually. Oh, that means he actually ripped it. Damn. Mm.
Nope.
So Carmen Electra broke his penis. Didn't they date for a while?
Long time. I think they got married.
I don't know if it was her. I thought she got married to Dave Navarro or something like that.
I think she married them both.
She married them both. I think
at the same time.
Did he break his penis also? Is she a penis?
Here's
breaker?
The thing. Like Carmen Electra, a beautiful woman, but if you get the reputation as a penis breaker, would you still do her?
Yeah. I think you have to.
Really? Yeah, you're Carmen Electra in her prime, but you know that she broke David Navarro's penis and Dennis Rodman's penis.
Well,
do you
I don't
still
know if she
do
broke
her?
David Navarro's penis. I don't know. I'm just assuming.
It's okay. Worth the risk.
Is that worth the risk?
I think it's worth the risk.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'd probably, I don't know. I'd have concerns. I'd have concerns.
Well, of course you go in there a little shaky.
Yeah.
You got to be thinking, okay, is it worth it? But I think you roll the dice and go with it.
But Carmen Electra, penis breaker.
What if you survive it and don't break your penis?
Well,
see,
then
now you two are already making the biggest mistake because you're going into a situation where you're thinking about it, a failure. You're already going to get a failure.
Okay, so it's like self-fulfilling prophecy kind of thing.
So maybe there won't be a performance problem there. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying.
Well, it's like it's people that climb Mount Everest. There's a 9 or 10% chance of death, but if you complete it and you live. Then you said you climbed Mount Everest.
What if you make it to the top of Mount Everest, but you break your penis? Is it worth doing it?
It's kind of creepy. Like if you look at Everest, like people that die on Mount Everest, it's so cold they can't really get the bodies out. So the bodies just stay there and they're there preserved for decades, forever. Hundreds of years. It's like really sad stuff.
Yeah, they just passed a law a couple of years ago where now climbers have to carry have to carry out all their own poop because it stays up there forever.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So they got frozen poop bags.
Well, but it's just like there's just people there that are dead. Like they'll slip or get hurt or something, and there's nothing people can do. Like they'll talk to them even though they're dying, essentially, and eventually they'll just freeze to death.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, we
it's really sad. It's really sad.
Well, would you attempt it?
No.
No.
Mm-mm.
No. I would be exactly like Chandler and Joey on Friends. Like, let's just rent a video where someone else climbed Mount Everest, and that's good. I'm good.
Yeah. How long does it take to get to the top?
I don't know.
A couple days, I think. Well, you have to do it in phases. You know, like you have to go to base camp, you have to acclimatize, and then you have to go to another camp, acclimatize, and then it's the last leg it gets you. At least that's what I've seen, is because you can get blood clots in your legs that go to your lungs. You know, the air is very thin. The weather can kill you. Yep. Exactly. You know, like the cold. There's lots of
a storm could come in.
I think I'd try it.
No. Really? You read the stories about the dead people, and they show pictures of them because when the climbers go, you see the dead people frozen there.
You're dead. I mean, at least you're preserved. I mean, they'll come. They'd never dig you up, right?
They can't. You can't.
So I'd be frozen in time.
It's just so sad. There's like this one where a wife fell down.
Global
warming
takes all over. It'll melt, and then I'll thaw out, and they can bring me back to life.
Yeah, a wife fell down a thing, and the husband only had enough oxygen for him to get back, but he went after her. But then he fell down the ravine and died. And then when the team still went up to the top, came back, she was still down there, and they talked to her for a while, and then eventually they had to leave, and then she ended up she froze to death.
Wow,
it's like really, it's horrible stuff.
It does sound. I mean, I'm not making light of it, but I think I would give it a shot.
You still give a shot, huh?
Did y'all hear about that?
It's only 10%. Only 10% die, right?
I don't know. Go ahead, Nick.
I mean, I was going to say though, how many people make it to the? How many people have actually made it to the top?
I don't know. But Nick, finish your thought and then we'll get back to that.
Well, it's a little bit off topic, but because Jack said I could be brought back to life. Did y'all read about that crazy story? I forget what state it's in, where a mother was part of a cult and she believed her son was Jesus Christ, the resurrection version of him. She killed him to prove that he would be resurrected. She pled guilty in court on a plea bargain and had it put in the plea bargain that if her son does come back to life, that she would get set free.
Oh, that is sad. How old was her son?
I think he was in his early 20s, something like that.
So but the son just, like went along with this, I guess. If he's in his 20s,
I guess she just. I don't know. I mean,
did he have long hair?
I never saw a picture of him. But I just thought it was insane. It's like, you know, imagine the judge who gets that, like, you're pleading guilty. Yeah, but I want that in the bargain.
Well, how did she get, shouldn't she have got off on insanity?
That's really hard, even though that's true. But
if you kill somebody, how can you?
I don't think it's hard to prove you killed your son because you thought he was Jesus. I'm thinking, okay, yeah, we're just going to lock you up. Throw away the key. I mean, John Hinckley got out. John Hinckley was... They said he was in, you know, because he wanted to go out with Jodie Foster.
Right.
So he got away. Here you've killed your son because you think he's Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
and that passed the same test?
Well, but the fact that she pled guilty, she's of sound mind knowing that she killed him.
But is she of sound mind?
I think it's the insanity plea is really hard to prove. I think you have to actually... They don't know that they actually did it, or if they did it, they weren't consciously there when they did it. It's one of those really weird arguments. I'm not a lawyer, so don't take me.
So you shoot the president because you like Jodie Foster.
Exactly, because it was good to impress Jodie Foster.
Impress Jodie Foster, because what wouldn't impress Jodie Foster more than killing the president?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but you kill your son because you think it's Jesus Christ, and that's saying.
You know, like the guy that shot John Lennon, you know, he was reading all into all those lyrics saying like, oh, he's telling me to kill him.
Right.
You know, so it's what I'm saying. It's not you are of mind, but you're under some delusion to do it. Which I guess technically she was under a delusion if she thought her son was Jesus Christ. So
I guess. I know. It's like my favorite joke by Paula Poundstone. She Sirhan, whatever, you know, he's the one that killed Robert Kennedy. He said, he always said, and one of his arguments was, at the parole hearing was, if Robert Kennedy were alive today, he'd want me to go free. And Paula Poundstone said, isn't it a shame the one guy that would have set him free, he had to go shoot. I'll never forget that joke because it made sense. Anyway.
Yeah.
So how many people have made it up to the top?
I'm trying to find. I'm finding more about the deaths, which again pull up pictures of just the dead people.
Well,
frozen.
Why do you? Oh, they have pictures of the dead people frozen.
Yeah, you see them when you're walking by, like they're just there, dead.
But what? They don't bury. They don't. Ice
you can't bury them. You can't.
No,
like,
ice doesn't care.
Snow
them
kind
up
of covers them up eventually, but sometimes it does because it melts. Like it's cold and it melts. Like there's frozen.
Yeah, they just like turn blue and they turn black from like frostbite. And
do they have like names on them? Do they put like a plaque?
Usually, from whatever country they're from, somebody else that's climbing up from that country will put the flag over them sometimes if they can reach them.
Or you have to check their underwear. Oh, that's who it is.
Okay, no,
got it.
God, that's a horrible joke.
All these people named Fruit of the Loom keep dying up here. They should probably stop sending them up here.
We need.
That's I'll laugh at my own joke. I don't care.
Horrible. Come on.
Come on. Use your imagination. You're walking up there and you keep checking. What's the name of this guy? You check his underwear. It says Fruit of the Loom. Come on, man. Should I have said Haynes? Would that have been funnier? No?
Well, you know,
let's see. So 4,000 people have climbed and 200 have died, I think.
So 4,000 have made it.
Well, let's see. Hold on.
That's a pretty good ratio.
So here's statistics. So it's 8,848 meters height or tall or 29,000 feet.
Okay, we're Americans. Got to go and
see. Yeah, let's say just get to the 27,000 feet.
Let's see, 60 million years old. I think it's from when India as an island crashed into.
So 60 million years old. But there's only 200 dead people. 200 people.
That's India.
India was actually a part of Africa that split off and its own little thing. Oh, yeah, that nice. It rotated around and crashed into. Yeah,
I got some rays down in Africa one time.
It's rain down in Africa, but go ahead.
Rain.
Is it rain?
No, yeah, it's rain. It's got some rays. Has I been singing this whole time?
That's what I've been saying the whole time.
Why would there be some?
There was a great thing on Facebook. Someone had today or yesterday saying, "When I was a kid, we didn't have Google, so I had to sing the song wrong the whole time."
Exactly. But so that was like,
I got some rain. Is it rain? Why would you get rain down? Why would you get rain like down in Africa?
Rains down in Africa. Yeah.
Why? It doesn't. You don't think of rain in Africa. You think of rays, the sun beating down on you.
Well, do you like bean enchiladas?
If you like bean enchiladas.
No. Or do you count the headlights in the rays?
Right, that's the line.
Do, do, do. Well, to be fair, that song, you never know if it's starting or ending either.
Which song?
Dun, dun, dun. I get some rays down in Africa.
It's rain. Jesus Christ. You knew it was rain.
I get some rain down in Africa.
1953, the year Sir Edmund Hillary and Sherpa Tenzing Norgay became the first recorded climbers to reach Everest's summit. So not till 1953. Three, number of countries visible from the summit, Tibet, India, Nepal. Six, number of people who have died in the mountain in 2012. 19, wow. Number of people who died in 1 year, 1996, the deadliest ever on Mount Everest during a trek chronicled by writer John Karakar into thin air.
I think it's the one they made the movie recently.
30, number of minutes before a climber dies after contracting hypothermia on Mount Everest, depending on how fast his or her body temperature drops. So only 30 minutes till you die.
The shitty way to die, too.
Yes, it is. Yep. 40, recorded a record number of people to successfully reach Everest summit in one day, May 10th, 1993. 200, approximate total number of climbers who have died on the peak's treacherous slopes. So that's just... Yeah.
40 people climbed it in one day?
To the summit, yeah.
Wow,
that's not the peak, though. That's the summit.
Oh, the summit.
4,000, approximate number of people who have climbed Mount Everest since Sir Edmund Hillary and Sherpa Tenzing Norgay. 13, age of Jordan Romero, the youngest climber to reach the summit in May 2010. 76, the age of the oldest climber to reach the summit, Min Badur Sherchain.
All right, I'm going to wait till I'm 77.
Record 21, record number of successful climbs to summit by Apa Sherpa.
How about if I wait till I'm 77? So in 23 years, I will climb Mount Everest.
But yeah, if you ever like look up...
And get some rays down in Africa.
It costs $25,000 to get a permit to climb it.
A permit? What do you need a permit to climb a mountain for?
It's a way to make money.
Well, no wonder nobody's climbing it because it's so expensive.
Yeah.
And if I didn't have to pay $25,000, I could buy some warm clothes and I wouldn't freeze to death climbing up the damn thing.
Let's see. How many people attempt to climb Mount Everest annually? Just under 1,000 people attempt to climb each year, and about 500 reach the summit every year. There's a huge cost to attempting Everest in terms of money. So it's $114,000, 4% chance of death, and risk for having paid but not actually making it.
If we get our patron up to $5,000 a month, I will climb Mount Everest.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Risk in 2014 saw the ice fall avalanche kill 16 Nepalese Sherpa on April 18th.
I forgot about the avalanche thing. I hate that.
Yeah, so another like crappy that. Way to go. It's read about it. It's really sad stuff.
So 5,000. If we get to 5,000 a month, I will climb Mount Everest.
So to put it in perspective, let's see. In 2014, 7 died. 2015, 22 died. 17 died in 2014. 8 in 13. 11 in 12. 5 in 11, 10 and 3 and 10. So
now these people just died because
many different reasons. So they get hypothermia, their oxygen tanks wear out, they slip and fall. A lot of different reasons.
Slip and fall, I mean, can't get back up.
No, like say if you fall down a thing, they can't come and get you because they could risk themselves falling. And if you can't climb back up, you're dead.
So you're just assured that you'll never get to 5,000 a month. Because then the podcast would just be the Jack podcast. I mean, the J podcast.
But here's where it'd be better.
Nobody would want to listen to that.
I would just have all the guest hosts come on, and we'd have to listen to Jack's really bad jokes.
Okay, so say...
They're all named Fruit of the Loom.
Let's turn this into a relationship question.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You're climbing up there with your wife or your child.
Yep.
And they slip and fall. And the rule is you can't risk yourself. do you just let them die?
So that happened. That did happen.
I know that. I'm saying for you.
No, hey, let me read the story first, and then.
No, you don't need to read the story. I'm asking you a question. Would you sit there and go? Because you just said I slipped and fall. Yeah, and they fall down to a certain point that nobody can get to them. You just have to die, and you just keep. Would you keep going on? Or you go, this is kind of a dilemma. I go to the top, I make it, but yeah, my wife died. What? Do I look like a dick? I mean, what's the deal?
I did pay $32,000. I mean,
yeah, I mean, it was $25,000 for me, $25,000 for her. We bought all this equipment. We signed a pact saying if one of us fell, we wouldn't come. But you know how it is.
Well, I think it just depends. So I
really?
Think if you
you're
have
not
a kid,
come get, and she's gonna be yelling out there. Really, you're not gonna come get me? Now, don't use the kid thing because you said when Son and Jen died.
Well, I didn't have a kid yet.
Yeah, but you, whatever. So would you go back and would you go and try to rescue your wife?
I think it just depends.
But there's no depends. Would you go do it or not? Nick, Evangeline, you're climbing up there with Evangeline Lilly.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure she's going to kick my ass walking anyway. So, okay.
But she slips and falls.
Mm-hmm.
She can't decide on you and another hiker. She's going back and forth. You know how she is. And she falls. Do you go back and save her?
So she's fallen in place, but she's still alive. But
she's
there's
still
no
alive,
way.
To... But there's no. She's not going to be saved. There's just no way. But you know, you're in love with her. Do you go save her?
Well, you have to try.
All right. So here's the story that I was thinking of. So on May 22nd, 1998, climber Frances Aristotive accomplished one of the Everest firsts by becoming the first woman from USA to summit without bottled oxygen. Unfortunately, she never lived to celebrate this accomplishment. Aristotive and her husband climbing partner Sergey Aristotive were in a position to reach the summit on May 20th and 21st, but had to turn around both times. On May 22nd, on their third attempt, they made it, but they had been in the death zone above 8,000 meters for almost 3 days. Because they were exhausted from spending so much time above 8,000 meters, they summited late in the day and had to camp, spend another night above 8,000 meters. The next morning, they descended but somehow got separated. Sergey reached camp and found she was not there. He immediately went back to find her carrying oxygen and medicine. Late that morning, an Uzbek team found Aristotive frozen and struggling to survive. They attempted to help her and brought her down as far as they could before they became too exhausted to do more. They saw Sergey on his way back up the mountain as they descended. That was the last anyone would ever say Sergey Aristotive alive. The next morning, a team of climbers, including Ian Woodall and Kathy O'Dowd, found Frances, where the Uzbek team had left her, amazingly still alive, but barely. Sergey had left his ice axe and rope, but there was no sign of him. There was nothing Woodall, O'Dowd, and their party could do to save her, and she died that morning.
So
the husband
died.
Went back. He died. He somehow, whatever happened to him, he just went missing, and then she ended up dying. There's just a picture of her. She's laying on her back, frozen.
But would you call that a success?
She made it.
She made it, but she still died.
Yeah, but she still died. I mean, she made it, though. You made it there. It was John Henry. John Henry, plowed his way. He beat the machine, even though his heart exploded at the end of it, but he still did it.
Okay, I'm going to say yes, it's a win.
I mean, at least give her that. She's dead. At least give her the win.
Okay.
You know what? You win.
Okay, winning! So to the question, I would say it just depends. I would just not climb it to not put myself in that kind of situation. But
you can't do that. That's not the question. Would you go back? Would you go back?
If it was...
Or do you just keep moving on saying, we signed a pact?
Yeah, it's like, I'm sticking to my end. You didn't stick to yours. I'm sticking to mine.
Okay, so what happens? Okay, there's heaven, all right? We say there's heaven later on. And, you know, you live another 50, 60 years while your wife is frozen on Mount Everest. How do you think that's going to go in heaven? How do you think it's going to – you think she's going to be waiting there with open arms, or are you going to have to listen to it for the rest of your life?
I'm pretty sure you're not getting to heaven.
It's like, I'm so sorry. So, but I'm right here. Like, yeah, but I just can't risk it. I'm right next to you. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I have to let go.
We signed a note. We signed a note.
You can present that as evidence at the pearly gates. I have the note.
See, look at this. It's notarized. I think it's an interesting question. I mean, what would you do?
I don't know. It just depends if it's within reason. And you know.
I probably wouldn't go with my wife.
Yeah. For my son. First,
that'd probably be
first
the easiest
rule.
Thing. But I'm going to wait till I'm 77. I think I'm going to do it. Well, unless we get the 5,000 a month.
You can't even climb up your flight of stairs without being exhausted. How are you going to climb out my
Oh, I worked out this. I started working out again. So
oh, wow. Watch out.
I was in Vegas, and I worked out twice.
You know, they pump oxygen in all the casinos in Vegas, so that's you're still high.
Well, you're around all the smokers, so you have to get some fresh air in there somewhere.
I did
have an interesting story about Vegas.
Yeah, so you were in Vegas for the week. How did that go?
I was in Vegas for the week. We stayed at the Aria Hotel, I believe it's called.
Okay.
It's a very nice hotel. It was the first time I ever stayed there. It was great service, fantastic service. The buffet was, I'm not really a buffet guy, but buffet was excellent food. Actually, the food was fantastic everywhere. It was a fantastic hotel. But there was one incident, and it is kind of a relationship type thing, or
okay.
about raising your child.
Okay.
We're in the buffet line, and it's morning. It's a bit of a line. It says an hour wait, but it turned out to be like 15 minutes. The lady in front of us was in a bad mood. She was just in a bad, pissed off mood. She's just angry about waiting in line. She's bitching and complaining. I don't know if it was her sister came over or a friend of hers came over. She says, "Can you wait here? I have to go to Starbucks," because they had a Starbucks there. And I'm like, "Well, wait till you see that line. The Starbucks line is twice as long as this line." But I said that, and that was in my inside voice. But I really wanted to tell her, "Wait till you see that line," because she was being so cranky. She comes back. There's some kids. She comes back with all these kids. There's five kids. And she goes, "You're not going to believe what happened. Our kids. Our children were accosted by security." And I'm just, and so everybody in line just kind of looks at her like, "Oh no, you're one of those people." And the kids range from age 4 to like age 10, maybe 11 tops. And there are five of them. She's trying to say that these kids did nothing wrong. They were just sitting, they were just minding their own business. Now, again, I wasn't there. I don't know. But this lady was in a pissed off mood in the line. She was pissed off when she was walking to Starbucks. She was pissed off. She had to get out of line to go get her kids, because that's what she said. She says, "I'm waving to him, and the security guard won't let him go because he's accosting them." She just kept saying that. She goes, I'm calling
Maybe
them.
She just liked the word hotel. Accosted.
Yeah. I guess so. So we're sitting there, we got nothing to do but sit in line. So we're sitting there listening to her the whole time, and she's on the phone. She's trying to get security, and she's just basically bitching and complaining the whole time in line. She finally gets a hold of someone, and she's just bitching and complaining. Then she gets up there. She pays for the buffet.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, "Really? $21 for a child? You think my child could eat $21 of food?"
Oh, my God.
And I'm just like going, "You're in Vegas." Now, yeah. First to me, we did one time take the kids to Vegas, but yeah. that was more of a hockey tournament. Hey, we're going away for a weekend.
Yeah.
Normally, I would never think of taking kids to Vegas, because to me, that's the adult playground. Nick, you ever been to Vegas?
Not so much anymore. Like, there's a lot of kids stuff to do in Vegas. I agree.
It's for adults. People want to take their kids. That's fine. But you know what? Watch your kids. Again, you might think your kids are the greatest thing in the world, but most of us don't.
Exactly.
You know, pay attention to your kids. Your kid would probably be doing something. Anyway, so now she's bitching about the price of the damn thing. So then we go sit
down.
They
are expensive, though. Can I just say, I went to the Caesar Palace buffet, which is apparently like the best buffet in Las Vegas, and it was like $110 for two people.
It is expensive. I mean, I'll be honest.
It was good, but it wasn't that good.
I used to go to the El Rancho buffet for $1.99, and then it was to see who could get to the bathroom.
And then you would shit yourself completely.
It was a group dump. We'd all five, whoever with us, would run to the buffet. I'd run from the buffet to the bathroom. And get rid of the buffet, because it was $1.99, and it was the reason why. Vegas Vacation, that is the El Rancho buffet. But we did it because it was $1.99. But that was old school Vegas. This is new school Vegas, where they have families and they can charge all this money. Look, you're in Vegas. Know the price before you walk. She's bitching at this poor woman behind the desk who doesn't care, because she's still pissed off. So then someone, I guess, from security goes, "We can see her sitting there," as she's telling this guy, and he's like leaning on the wall, and she's just going on and on and on. And I mean, literally 15 minutes. So we've already had a couple rounds of food. Her kids finally come in and sit down. I watched those kids run in front of everybody in the buffet, all over the buffet, cutting people off, getting people, bumping into people. So you can't tell me they weren't doing the same thing in the hotel, and security just wanted them to stop. So this woman probably got something free for bitching and complaining. But I said, there it is right there. I told my wife, I go, there it is right there. Those kids are doing the same, we're probably doing the same thing, running around the hotel, unattended, unsupervised.
Jerks.
You know, if you want to bring your kids to Vegas, the adult playground, at least watch them. And the youngest one, 4-year-old, was running around by itself, by himself, without anybody watching him. She's so concerned about the security guard touching him, holding him back, and this kid is running all over the buffet. In and out of people.
But you know, it's just, there's going to be those parents like that are unattentive parents.
But if you're going to be that way, you have to expect other people don't want to be around your kids running and screaming and getting in their way.
Well,
you have to discipline your own child.
I have a question. So,
all right.
And it's not related to this rant about these kids, which you're really good at it. So I don't want to like take you away too far.
I'm just saying. At first, I go, well, maybe she's right. But then I saw how the kids were.
So is there
a
question to the other two hosts here that you're getting to?
What do you think, Nick? I know you don't have kids,
mm-hmm.
but you don't have kids, so you probably think, okay, I don't want these kids annoying me.
You talking about how I would view her parenting, or what
would you let your kids run around like that?
Oh, hell no.
Okay.
But you know, the thing is that people are raised differently, and the way you are raised by your parents normally is how you end up raising your own kids. And so if this woman is just sounds like an idiot, she's probably raising idiots.
Yeah.
And there's nothing, you know, and if you say, like, have you ever tried this, she's going to immediately start yelling at you for questioning her parenting skills or her style or whatever. And so there's no win scenario for regular folks who see this.
But it just killed me that she was in a pissed off mood before she even went there. I mean, literally, she was yelling to herself in the line. I go, who's she? I even asked my wife, who is she with? She goes, I don't think she's with anybody. She was just bitch. She was already pissed off before she and her friend. I don't know if it was a sister or friend came over. Then she went to Starbucks.
So she accosted your ears.
And then I had to get out of Starbucks line, and I'd already waited there. She was just angry person. Now, Jay, okay, you have a child.
Yes, I do. Well, so
would you let your 4-year-old, if Zach was 4, would you be standing in a Starbucks line? Or a line in a buffet, letting your 4-year-old run all over the place by himself.
No, because I mean, Zach is like high energy, and
he's definitely high energy.
So there's a certain point when we go to a restaurant where he sits and he's well behaved. There's a certain point where he wants to get out. And if we're already done eating, then one of us will get up, and then he'll just want to walk around the restaurant. And I'll walk, you know, right behind him, making sure he's not getting in any trouble. But he needs to like let some energy out. So I wouldn't let him go unattended, but we definitely. We'll let Zach walk around, and I'll just walk behind him and make sure he's not, you know, causing too much trouble.
There's certain places you're setting your kid up to fail. If you're at Disney World, well, that's for kids, even though adults like it too. But that's a kid's place.
Yeah, we're not taking Zach to, you know, Ruth Chris or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. It's Vegas is. I mean, they weren't at an amusement. They weren't like the MGM amusement or Circus or. There was really nothing for kids to do at this hotel that I could. I mean, there was a pool. Sure, they can go in the pool, but they weren't in the pool. They were inside where the restaurants are, where people are trying to walk around. And people, you know, especially the next morning, most of us had been drinking. You know how it is when you're drinking the next day. You're kind of tired. You can go to bed. You know, you're maybe got 3-4 hours sleep. And the last thing you want is some kid running in and out of you. Right?
Sure.
Am I right? And I had one more rant that has nothing to do with the relationship. I come back, and so we get back about 11:15. Great flight. Everything was perfect. I get there. I'm talking to some guy. I think he was in Winston-Salem because he said he had like a 2-hour drive. Oh, that sucks. He goes, and we're waiting for our bags and waiting for our bags and waiting for our bags. It's not coming. He goes, well, I've never had one get lost. I go, well, I've had mine twice not arrive. Then my wife's bag arrives, which scares me because we checked in at the same time. So it arrives, and the guy's looking at me. I go, can't be a third time. So he finally gets his bag. He says, have a safe trip. So after all the bags have gone around, I go, are you fucking kidding me? So I have to, my daughter's picking us up. My wife was already out there. I said, look, my bag didn't make it. I have to go make a claim. So I go walking over there. I'm the 7th person in line. It took me a half hour just to get to the woman that was doing the stuff. She goes, what color's your bag? I go, green. She goes, is it olive green, forest green? I go, you know what? Next time I'll just take a picture of it with my phone and I'll show it to you because I'm sure you'll lose it again. And then she goes, oh, I'm so sorry. I go, I don't know. I'm yelling at you. You had nothing to do with it, but I'm just ticked off right now. Took me. I didn't get out of there till like 12:20. Took me an hour and 5 minutes to get out of the airport because they, you know what they did with my bag?
They,
anybody? What? They took it. We landed in Dulles. They took it off and put it on there for someone to pick up. I was going to Raleigh.
That's fine.
So it was spinning around. They said, oh, we see what happened here. I go, how does that happen?
Okay, but they got to eventually, so everything's fine. They always get it to you.
I got it the next day. I got the next day at 4. But it was the fact I had to wait so long. And what does it tell you when there's 7 people in line already to get, and there were people after me?
People make mistakes. It happens.
To get a bag?
Why you gotta be so cranky? I got a question for you though. It's more fun than you complaining about something.
I'm just saying. You ask me what color it is.
You mentioned.
Does everybody know the exact color of their suitcase? It's green. Has my name on it.
Okay. Anyways, quick question. So you mentioned to me.
Would knowing the color help it keep it on the damn place?
You mentioned to me that your toilet was a French toilet. What does French toilet mean?
We had the bidet.
You had the bidet. So was this your first bidet experience?
It is my first bidet experience because you had said how interesting it was.
I said it was amazing because at Google's main campus, most of the toilets are bidet toilets. And they're seat-warmed toilets as well.
Oh, these things, it was nice and warm. It was a nice warm toilet. It had all the different things. I got to be honest, I wasn't really a fan of the bidet.
No?
I'm only a fan of stuff coming out, not in. So it was a little freaky.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I don't know how many times you bidet'd yourself.
Well, like every time you go poop because it cleans you out. It's like getting.
What about you, Nick? Have you used a bidet?
I've never used a bidet.
Yeah.
But now, although because I know Jay is a big fan of the squatty potty, they do make a squatty potty now with an option of a bidet.
Really?
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
You just got Jay excited.
Because that's like my two favorite, because the squatty potty has been a life changer for me. But adding a bidet to the squatty potty, that would be like having your cake and eating it too.
Well, okay, can I ask you something?
Yes.
The first time you did it, did you just go, whoa? Or did
yeah,
you
it was
go,
a little it was a little shocking at first.
Because it's like warm water.
Well, you can choose. So at least on this one, there were settings. You could choose to warm your seat. Well, you could choose warm water, cold water.
Our seat was always warm.
Okay.
It was always
so definitely warm water, I think, is the way to go. But I just for me, it just felt like, I felt like I was clean. It was like I took a shower after taking a poop. And so I felt really refreshed.
This had it coming from two different directions, which you could
You could do it from the front, but the front's for the ladies though, you know that, right?
Yeah.
Well, I just figured I'd try it. I just want to see if it was better because I didn't like the bidet coming up. Yeah. I didn't like it.
Wash the bait and tackle while we're down there. Why not? All right.
Well, it's one of those things. It's really just weird if you haven't time. If you haven't done it before. It's like okay. I'll put it this way.
Okay.
If you ever had one of those dumps where you dump and it's like an explode, and then
it's like a stream of water. It's not just like splashed water coming. It's like just splashing.
But
water.
I know that. That's what I'm trying to say. It was just weird.
It's a weird sensation at first, but I'm telling you.
Your
squatty
mom
potty
loved
with
your,
a bidet. It's like
your mom loved it.
Yeah, because you feel clean afterwards.
Your mom was going in there even if she didn't have to go to the bathroom. She just was like, "Hey, I'm going to use the bathroom right now." I said, "All right, go ahead." I go, "Man, you're using the bathroom a lot." Well, I just like this bidet thing. It's just,
Lord.
A lot of my neighbors when I lived in Redlands, California, were from India, and they don't use toilet paper. They have it for guests, for us, but. They use the cup, which that's why they don't do anything with their left hand because that's the unclean hand, and so they have a cup of water and they clean because they don't have bidets, so they clean with the cup of water, and to me that sounds a little gross, but then they kind of counter argued that is well what you do is gross to us because like if a bird poops on you, do you just wipe it off with a piece of cloth and then go about your day? Like no, you wash it, and that's. I can see that same argument with the bidet.
Yeah, that's my thing with, just because basically it's like a dry piece of paper. Like, you're going to get all the poop out of there? No, you're not going to get all the poop out of there.
Yeah.
It does clean you. It does do a good job cleaning.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, it's like taking a shower in the middle of the day.
But it's something I definitely would have to get used to.
But I'm going to squatty potty with a bidet. That's
But I do want the warmer in the wintertime.
Yeah, I got the
The seat is warm. You sit down and go, ah, I'm never leaving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jay, from what I saw, it's some attachment that you attach to the rim of the toilet. And it,
yeah, that's just like a normal bidet. You just add it to your...
Yeah.
But it's Squatty Potty. It's by the people that make Squatty Potty.
Right.
It's called Refresh It, Freshwater Bidet by Squatty Potty.
Refresh Bidet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot about, I forgot I sent you that text. But yeah, I will try it. I only tried it once. I was kind of afraid to do it again. In fact, mm-hmm. I did it before I took a shower. And your mom goes,
why?
Why
that's, that's a waste of time.
I said, what if it doesn't work right? What if it does something else? I don't know. I didn't know what it was gonna. I didn't know if it was gonna splatter something somewhere else, and I get like, maybe up my back or something. Like, I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know it was gonna happen. I was afraid. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. When it first hit, did I move too fast? I mean, it's just kind of like, hey, it is kind of startling. I mean, I felt violated at one point.
Mm-hmm.
I did. It was just like, oh my God.
But you know what's going to happen. It's like
it's one of those things where you know it's going to happen, but you kind of grip your, you know how you, what, I'm trying to think of something where you know you're going to get hit or something, you're going to get punched or something, and you're like, so I kind of tensed up a little bit. So I think I kind of hurt the effect of the bidet for being not relaxed.
Yeah.
But I think I might get one for your mom though. I think she liked it. It might keep her quiet. Keep her happy.
Happy wife, happy life, as they say.
While I'm climbing Mount Everest, she can sit on the bidet. How's that?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah,
you don't want to talk about this because it's your mom? Is that?
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, exactly.
Are you feeling uncomfortable about that?
Basically.
If this was France, you wouldn't care.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm not French, so.
Well, they don't care. They're open about their stuff.
Let's see here. We do have an email to read. Nick, anything going on back in California? Any interesting stories or anything like that in your world?
Yeah, I did want to tell one story. I've got like a list because it's been a while since I've been on here. But there was one that happened just before I moved that I found fairly relevant. So the last week I'm in Tennessee. My sister decides to bring her and my nephews to Tennessee to say goodbye and visit me before I move out. And I'm at work, and she comes to visit me at the museum, and she kind of looks at me, and she goes, oh, I used your computer today. And the shiver of fear just creeps up the spine of, like, how did you access my computer? Because I have a Mac, and I have it, you know, the password, but like a lot of siblings, she can figure out how my brain works because it's usually some variation of something Star Wars geeky is my password. So she logs into my computer.
I thought it would be like General Lee or something like that.
Jeez. So she logs into my computer, and I'm already thinking like browser history. Okay, what's she been on the internet? No. She goes, no, I clicked on, she's never used a Mac. So she clicks on the photo icon thinking that is the Google Chrome icon.
It's kind of the same. It is similar.
That same rainbow round symbol. And I'm thinking, oh, okay. She goes, oh, I regretted it. And I just like, well, what's on there? and then because I don't really use this laptop for a lot. But there were some nude photos of an ex-girlfriend from years ago. So it was like one of those things where it's like, I saw her naked and I'm looking at her. So it didn't go as bad as I thought. And she was actually pretty cool about it. Like, oh, well, there's nothing wrong with a little porn every now and then. I'm like, well, it's a good thing you didn't go through any other part of the computer.
Well, that's where, okay, but here's the thing.
Okay, go ahead.
No, it's like, here's the thing people get. It's like, oh, don't look at my browser history. There's a thing called private browsing, right? Just use private browsing, and then just it automatically, every time you close out of the window, it's gone. It's gone forever.
No.
I thought nothing was gone forever.
No, so it's just like, for me, have a web browser that is only your porn browser, and then you put it on private browsing so it doesn't save any history. So every time you close out of it, it just disappears. So you don't have to ever worry about somebody finding your porn history.
Well, I was saying, like, it used to be, you know, 20 years ago, you know, if Jack dies, like, you have your buddy. It's like, go to my house, get all my magazines, burn them,
right.
or keep them. Yeah, or keep them, because, you know, you're not going to burn porn. But
it is true. There's something about like pre-internet days or the early days of the internet. There's still just like somebody's box of porn that gets passed down by years and years. So by the time you know I was a teenager
porn,
with my
because it doesn't matter. It never gets old.
That's what I say. So but the thing is like you know my group of high school friends. One of my friends he got like. The stash of porn that was just passed down from his dad to his big brother to him. But like by the time it came to us, like we were seeing like, you know, the 70s, you know, big Bush women and stuff like that. So it's like, you know, 90s like, oh, this is, well, I guess it's still good, whatever. But yeah.
Sometimes, but like it's not, I like it, you know, the old, like, because they're forever young, at least in that picture. But then when I see, like when I go to Comic-Con and I see the lady that was in the Tron and Caddyshack, who was just gorgeous, you know, in the late 70s, early 80s. And
also,
then, like, see,
also Falcon Crest.
And Falcon Crest, yeah. And you see her, and you're like, in your mind, she's always that beautiful woman in that movie. And you see, and you're like, God, I hate that we age, you know? And you're just like, ugh, it ruins the fantasy.
It does sometimes. I agree with what you're saying.
People are beautiful on the inside, okay?
Ah, whatever, shut up. no, it is. It's true what Nick says, because you go, oh.
But then you look at yourself and you're like, oh, okay, I didn't age too well either, so
yeah,
that's fine.
That's why I do say that. I don't have mirrors in my house. So. so in my mind, hey, I'm still good looking.
Sure. All right.
Great thing about being Amish.
Yes, exactly. All right. So title is.
I was going to ask Nick about. Oh. Okay, does your ex girlfriend know that you still have naked pictures of her on her your laptop?
I would think every ex-girlfriend of every guy, you're, like I said, it's the same argument. You're never going to get rid of porn. It doesn't matter.
But it's a dangerous thing, though. I mean, you're a sane person, but there's people out there that are just dicks and assholes and would put just.
Well, that's why the whole revenge porn thing has become like, you know, a big deal.
It's just like, do you think twice about doing something like that? Because you got people who are just complete. I mean, I would never.
Hopefully you don't send naked pictures to crazy people.
No, I'm just saying I would never do that, but I'm just saying,
but it's a thing that happens. It's a real thing that happens.
I know it's a real thing that happens, but shouldn't people think twice about doing that?
I mean, you should think twice.
I know in the moment they're all in love and everything's, but you know, get that person, they're all in love and wait a minute, what happened to you? And they go out and they post put pictures of you on the internet of you naked and stuff like that. And it happens all the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's where there's a lot of laws coming in to protect people from that. So, like, revenge porn. So, say somebody posts a picture of you online and
– Well, what do you think the crime should be?
The crime or the punishment?
The punishment.
They go to prison and stuff like that.
But how long? I mean, should they
– I don't know. I don't know the sentences, but
– I mean, you've embarrassed this person forever.
Well, it's essentially – it's a form of, like a sex crime, of, you know, to a certain degree.
It's like the guy that was spying on Aaron Andrews. That guy was a complete dick.
I don't think the criminal punishment would be that steep. Like, you might get 6 months or a year or something, but the civil could be humongous, especially if you're famous or you make a certain living being a respectable person. And all of a sudden, there's a huge.
Well, look
album
at actually, yeah, Hulk Hogan awarded $115 million.
Right.
Because somebody he did a sex tape with somebody, and that. Girl's husband posted the videotape or sold it to TMZ or something like that, and Hulk Hogan won the case and was awarded $115 million.
But does that person have $115 million?
He did. Now he's like bankrupt, but yeah.
But I mean, he did have $115 million.
Yeah, he was like a radio personality or something like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why? They make that much money in radio?
If he had good investments, I don't know. Maybe he's a drug dealer. I don't know. I don't know how it works.
Depends on your sponsors too.
Yep. I don't know.
We forgot our sponsor, Loot Crate.
Yeah, Loot Crate. For all your revenge porn needs. that's a good question, too, because I think most guys, they have, like, a secret file somewhere hidden with all of their naked exes' pictures, probably.
Just Polaroids.
Well, that was in your time, Jack, but I'm saying in modern era.
I'm just Polaroids.
In the modern era. They don't even sell Polaroids anymore, Jack.
Yeah, they do.
Well, I guess specialty shops have. Wait, who has Polaroid? I mean, it's not like you can. It's not the same as it was 20 years ago.
They're not the Polaroid where they came out the front. Yeah, they're like come out the back, and they're like a thin little thing now. But they still make them.
But you think how cool Polaroid was when it first came out, though.
It was awesome.
You get the picture right away.
I mean, but the pictures are never that good. They're always kind of crappy.
It was back then.
You had to be careful, though, because if you pinched it on the bottom when it first came out, it would be yellow at the bottom of the photo.
That's true.
Yep. There's a lot. I mean, I had a Polaroid camera. I had one. Took Polaroid pictures. I got it in sixth grade. That was, like, I thought it was the coolest thing. But yeah, maybe people can write in. Have you saved your ex's naked pictures? Are this and I guess and you can send it in anonymously because I'm sure you can tell your current spouse. Say, oh, I threw them away. I promise.
Did you save pictures of your broken boyfriend's penis?
Oh God.
You know, but you know, not that I would, because why would I ever take a nude photo of myself? Because why? But
there's women out there that like the male body, and men out there that like the
selfie.
Male body.
But like, you better believe if I broke my penis, I'd take a photo of that because it's like, holy shit! You remember when that thing looked like a daggum nine iron? I mean, come on.
Ah, man.
Four.
Yeah. Speaking of penises, the where they make fun of Donald Trump's hand size, right? It's like a thing, like a joke.
Yeah.
So they have this thing you can print out of like Donald Trump's actual hand size, and then you can put your hand in the hand to see how it matches up. And I'm here to tell you that my hand is only a smidge bigger than Donald Trump's hand.
Oh, so you have a small dick.
Well, it's not necessarily directly correlated, but I'm just saying.
It's not the size that matters.
Of course, to the Don, he says he doesn't have a small dick.
But here's the thing: my pinky is significantly smaller than Donald Trump's pinky, but my other fingers are slightly larger than his. But my pinky,
you got kind of Freddie Flintstone fingers, right?
No, they're kind of I have stubby fingers. They're not very big.
Yeah,
they're not very big.
Fred Flintstone.
Anyway, so
the fun we're having with this election is just so much fun.
I know, right? It's great. It's great. Anyway, you guys ready to get to our one question here that we have today? Since
sure.
Nick inspires so much questions from our audience.
I wouldn't take that. Nick, tell him to fuck off.
Yeah, fuck you. I mean, I've got other things we can talk about if you want to keep going.
Oh, what other things do you have to talk about?
Well, just things like...
What, do you have a date, Jay?
No, we're an hour in, so I figured we'd do the thing that we're supposed to be here to do. But that's fine. That's fine.
We've answered some. Well, we don't have any questions. What the fuck are we supposed to do?
It's fine. We've had good discussions. I just thought we'd maybe get to the question that was asked. That's all.
We've informed everyone about Mount Everest.
We have. All right, well, let's do this email, and then we'll go into some of Nick's topics that he brought in for the table.
All right, let's do that. All right,
so the title of this email is the one.
Hey, wait. Wait, don't let him forget, Nick. This is his ploy saying, thanks for joining us on the show. Luke Braid, hey.
The call took half an hour, and now we're going long.
The one that got away is the email title. Hey, Married Man crew. My question today is on a weird subject, but I wanted to see what you guys thought anyways. The other night, I went out with some friends, and there was this girl that went with us. Very attractive, seemed real nice, and we hit it off. Only problem is that not only does she have a boyfriend, apparently she is getting engaged soon. Now, I'm not some weird, obsessive person or anything like that, so I stopped going after her when I found that out.
Stalker.
Even though I found her pretty cool. Now, a couple days later... I find myself looking at her as the one that got away, or a what-if scenario. I have no plans to pursue her, nor do I want to at this point because I don't like to go after other guys' girlfriends. But I just couldn't help thinking about it. Give me a week and I'll be over her, just like some other girls I've run into in the past. I was just curious if you guys have ever experienced this, run into a girl that you instantly hit off with, found really attractive or whatever, but you couldn't get her for whatever reason. Or am I just a crazy person who thinks like this too much and should go stick my finger in my dog's ass to keep myself entertained? Thanks. Thanks and keep up the great work.
Every goddamn day of my life.
it's happened to me a few times, but my wife keeps saying, no, you can't.
The other Chris in Boston. Thoughts here, gentlemen.
It happens, yeah.
It happens all the time. Like, shit, I remember there was a girl 10 years ago or so I met at the bar, hit it off perfectly, and I automatically thought, like, this is the girl I'm probably going to marry.
Wow.
And the thing is, though, is that she was already in like a 5-year relationship with a guy, and she was just one of those really, really great social girls.
Mm-hmm.
And she was so just involved in that relationship that she was confident in herself and confident in that, so she didn't feel threatened by any other men, so she got along with all guys. And then I even asked her for her number, and she gave it. She's like, yeah, let's hang out. And then a couple of days later, I realized, I was like, oh, shit, she's practically engaged. And then, yeah, she's married to the guy now. And she's like, okay. It's like, so that's just weird. But, you know, sometimes you need to be upfront with that kind of stuff.
The question I have, though, do you have naked pictures of her on your computer?
No, none of that one.
Okay.
But, you know, like, I mean, like, what was it, Friday night, even here, I walked into a pub. There was a girl sitting there, attractive. I waved at her. She waved at me, and then she kept drinking. I just was being friendly. And she, as she's leaving, she waves at me, but I'm thinking she's waving at someone behind me because, like, why would you – you didn't speak to me, so we're not on friendly terms or anything. Yeah. But she gives one of these big waves, like, I know this person.
To you?
It wasn't like a little – to me, yeah. She was giving this huge one, like, hey, like, see you later. And I look at her like, who the fuck are you waving at? You know? And
did you give the look behind you like –
Yeah, that's what I did. I turned around thinking she's either waving at the bartender or someone down the bar. And then I turned back around and she's already turned around, shoulders slumped, like I shot her dog. Wow. She's already going out the door. Wow. And I'm like, and I just felt like the biggest ass. I'm like, oh, I let that one slip by. And I didn't really want to.
But it's one of those things, though, if you wave back and she looks at you like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You don't want to be
that guy. That could have been Nick's wife, Jack. Like, if he would have just been more receptive to the wave.
But it also could have been Nick's biggest embarrassment.
It's true.
No, that would be his biggest embarrassment.
I don't want sure.
Not podcasting from a McDonald's drive-thru is not the biggest embarrassment.
That's not embarrassing. That's just dedication.
Here's a question to the listeners. Okay. Should Nick in the future just go ahead and go balls out and say, yeah, I'm going to wave. I don't care what.
Don't take his balls out, but maybe just, you know.
Should he have just waved back? Looking back at it now, you should have waved back,
mm-hmm.
right? But you didn't know that at the time. So for now on, should you just wave no matter what?
Yeah. I only take my balls out when I'm washing them in the bidet.
Okay.
The front blasting bidet.
You don't have to take them out.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying.
Oh God. Anyway,
you can just sit there and not have to do anything but press a button.
Ah, I would. Like I said, I've never used a bidet, so I would think a steady stream of water hitting my balls would hurt. But you never know.
That just depends. I think.
It's not a fire hose.
Saying like, I would think it would be a fire hose because I mean, you never know. Some poop is different. So some of it sticks to you, and you got to have a little pressure.
That's true. You guys like dial it up a little bit.
You just have to let it flow. I mean, that's different.
Let it flow. But I'm just saying, if you have a squatty potty, those days are over. You have to worry about just the ones that stick there, that don't go all the way.
So is that the only time, Nick, is the couple times it's happened to you?
Nick's whole life is just misconnections. That's all it is.
That's pretty much, yeah. Yeah. Like, man, that's why me and Cliff get along so well. It's just we can't win. I've met so many girls that I thought, shit, you're awesome, you know, and most of them tend to, because I mean, if you really meet a girl that's awesome, I guarantee you have like a 90% chance she's got a boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. She's already taken.
Yeah. And so you just try to maneuver and find the best one you can. I mean, like, mm-hmm. like anything in life. But yeah, I mean, it happens to me every day. Not every day, but at least once a week. You meet some girl.
So she says she has a boyfriend. They're like, well, do you like him?
Yeah, just, yeah, you know, you got to kidnap her.
Is he a keeper?
Yeah, it's like, is it working out? Just let me know.
Does he have a job? Does he drive a Porsche like me?
You can't be creepy. Like, you know, well, I really like you, honey, and I'd like to take you back to my place. You know, I got my own,
especially
got own
southern,
couch.
Especially yep. with your southern
yeah,
accent.
Do you have to dial back the southern accent now that you're in, like, L.A.? Because they probably just think you're, like, a weird creeper if you come in with one of those. Yeah.
Well, I don't go, you know, full out hillbilly. I go
You don't wear the overalls?
No. You kind of got to do the Matthew McConaughey kind of
Texas accent. All right, all right, all right.
Where it's just real slow.
All right,
you know,
all right,
all right. All right, yeah. Hey, honey, that's a nice, you know, just be more suave with it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I definitely notice
more
that
genteel.
That when I'm out, because it could just be something like, hey, could you give me some napkins or something, and some girl will go, oh my God, are you from the South? And I'm like, yeah, you know, and they're like, I just love that. Like, what part, you know? So it definitely is a conversation starter.
when they say what part, do you say Tennessee?
Yeah, I say Tennessee. Okay. Right. And then if most likely, I
have
say
a boyfriend.
Yeah, I have a boyfriend.
Now I've insulted Tennessee, so I'm.
But yeah, like they'll say I've been to Nashville, and that's like usually what everyone says. You're like, oh, cool, you know. And they like anything, like when you meet people from Europe or Asia, and they go, I went to America, I went to Los Angeles, New York, and you're like, is that it? Because it's, you know, Nashville is not all of Tennessee.
Oh, so you're saying Nashville is not cool?
I was knocking Nashville, Jack. It's Nashville's as cool as Raleigh.
Okay.
No, wow. Nashville's great. I have a great time in Nashville.
I've seen this show.
Yeah, that's such a realistic depiction.
Aren't there like country singers all over the place?
Just like Dallas was a true
Dallas
depiction
was
of Dallas.
Dallas was real. Mm-hmm. Come on now.
No, Nashville is quickly becoming L.A., sadly. I've got some friends that have told me that it's where all the hipsters and yuppies are starting to go now, because
the housing's expensive there.
Yeah, it's grown 33% population-wise in 10 years, and the wages have stayed the same, and housing has more than doubled. But it's all these people.
The same everywhere, though?
Yeah, in a way.
No, actually, in Raleigh, incomes 20% above the national average, and housing is 10% above the national average. So.
Well, because the housing doesn't really shoot up here.
No, it does. In certain areas, it has. You just live in Southeast Raleigh, so.
I'm sorry. Ours has gone up, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like, you know, when I moved to Knoxville, which is, you know, a different city than Nashville, but, you know, I was paying $400 a month in rent in 2000. And then by the time I left, I was paying around $1,000 Knoxville. In Nashville, though, especially depending on what area you're in, you're paying easily $1,000 or more for a single bedroom apartment, which in some places, like that's cheap. But if you're only making $40,000 a year or $35,000 a year, you're not. That's a big chunk of your money.
And you're not even clearing $35,000 a year.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's just different, because there was one apartment I know near Vanderbilt University, because they were considering offering me a job, and it was I want to say it was 1,100 square feet, and it was $1,400 a month. And I was like, this isn't L.A. You know, this isn't Washington D.C. It's, you know,
that's
it's still
a lot better than San Francisco would be $8,000 for a 1,000 square foot apartment.
Oh, exactly. But it's just the fact that but you're also getting paid in San Francisco or those places. You're getting paid probably $90,000 or $100,000 a year, because they have that such high cost of living.
If you're not making like $150,000 a year, you're poor in San Francisco.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Even then, you're not even middle class.
No, you need to be yeah, making $250,000 a year to be middle
easily
class.
And don't have any kids, because that's just going to – well,
that's true.
It's good for a tax write-up, but they're just going to cost you more in the long run.
But anyway.
So do you, going back to your accent, is it a plus or minus?
I think it's a plus, you know, because it's definitely a town where a gimmick or being different is appreciated, and I'm different in some ways.
Well, L.A. is made up of people from everywhere over the world anyway, so –
yeah, but you know, some people consider Southern accents sexy. Some think they sound ignorant, and so it just depends on the person you meet.
Ignorant. So that's the email question. Thank you so much, the other Chris in Boston. Nick, you had some topics that you wanted to cover today.
Oh, okay. Well, no, I mean that was good, but we're still running. But you know, I'll just keep going then. So at the same bar, but not the same night. I was sitting there minding my own business, having a drink, and this guy sits next to me, and he's from Nicaragua, and he's a really nice guy, and we were talking about what's it like in Central America, and he's lived here for 11 years in L.A., but you know, he doesn't have any friends, and I was like, oh, that's kind of sad. And now, I don't know if you guys have any experience with Central Southern American men, but I always find them to be really nice, but they're a bit handsy. And just because they speak. And so I didn't mind at first that the guy, it would hit me every now and then. But I realized about halfway through the conversation that he was into me a lot more than I thought he was.
Yeah. It's Southern accent.
Yeah. And he started buying me drinks. And at first I was like, oh, yeah, you can get me a beer. I'll get you a beer next time. You know, and just because it's just the guys talking about their countries and things like that. And it was the opening night of the Olympics. And so we're looking at it, like, what the hell is this crap I'm watching?
Jay's not watching the Olympics.
Oh. I've been watching some of it, but not in my own home. So just kind of out and about, I've seen it.
What the hell does that? That still counts as watching.
No, because it's not my TV. I'm not. It's already on. Other people are watching it. That doesn't count.
I know. People are complaining that it's winter in Brazil and that they're upset about the women's volleyball, sand volleyball, that it's too cold. They have to wear the full clothing. That's been a major complaint.
Why is that a complaint? They're playing the volleyball. If you only watch because of the bikinis, then I got a problem.
I'm just saying. That's what people are complaining about. Not me. I watch it for the sport.
Yeah, but yeah. To finish up the story, though, to Chris in Boston, I was his one that got away because he reached out and grabbed my leg and wanted to buy me a couple shots. Yeah, he wanted to buy me a couple shots, and I said, "Sir, I'm done for the night." And then he almost broke out into tears, like, "Please don't leave me." And I'm like,
"Oh wow,
you've crossed the line, Mister. Yes. You've crossed the line."
Well, you say like, "Sorry, I don't swing that way, sir."
I don't like, but see, I'm kind of funny. I don't like anybody touching me. I don't want touching me.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't
care what the. Like today, this woman at work I don't like started touching my shoulder and rubbing my shoulder and touching me like this, and I still feel like I still feel the hands touching me right now because I can't
just
stand
like sit
this
in a shower pouring over like
I can't stand this. I don't like this person. So
you're not liking
I
somebody or something. Never.
It's true. And I have every right to not like this person, but she's touching me and my wife's laughing because she saw me cringe. I'm like, oh, don't touch me. In my mind, I'm saying, please stop touching me. Please stop touching me. Please stop touching me. But I still feel the hands on my shoulder right now.
Then, you know, I think maybe you should raise like a, you know, sexual harassment.
I'm thinking about doing it.
I would.
Like, I should.
Okay.
How do you feel? Nick just said he got accosted on his leg. It's something you don't want. I mean, I just don't want to be touched by.
Yeah,
just,
I mean, I guess everybody's different.
There should be boundaries. Yeah. Don't touch me unless I'm giving you the okay. Don't touch me.
Well, yeah. It was definitely one of those rare moments where you felt like how women feel when men come on way too strong to them, and they feel like you violated my space. That's kind of how I felt. I was like, wow, like this is what it feels like to be like that woman at the bar, and the guy just won't leave her alone. And
there should be there. Everyone should have boundaries, and if you don't touch people without, you know, permission.
Or I guess if you're, but I think a shoulder touch. It's not. That's not.
This was like a shoulder. It wasn't a touch. It was like a grab, and she's like rubbing my shoulder. I'm like going, please stop. In my head, I'm like, please stop. If it had been a guy, I might have decked her.
Or you just, you know, pull your shoulder away.
I tried. She had a hold of my shoulder. It was like she had like
she was gripping it.
She was like an owl.
Tiger claw, that thing.
I don't know what it was. It was. I felt dirty afterwards. I just felt. But like Nick's saying, I don't like those people that just have to assume it's okay to touch you.
Mm-hmm.
There's boundaries. Don't touch me.
I mean, I don't mind like a little nudge on the shoulder or like a little tap, like to insinuate to confirm your point. I don't, you know, if you feel like I'm not listening to you, but yeah, like once you start groping, it's like, whoa, dude, or
anything. I don't. Yeah. Nobody should be touching anybody that doesn't want to be touched. Yeah. I'm thinking about getting a shirt made. Don't touch me. What do you think?
I think you would get more people touching you.
Yeah, I probably would
if you wore that shirt.
I'm just funny that way. I don't like to be touched.
Don't touch me. Well, this is Carmen Electra, then I'm fine.
Yeah, well, Carmen Electra is different. She can break my dick. I don't care. But I don't want this woman touching me.
It depends on who's touching you. You're fine if some people are touching you, it's not other people then.
Exactly. Like I said, I don't like this person. Mm-hmm. And I just they're phony. And when they're trying to be nice, I know they're phony. I know deep down they don't really give a shit. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, I know who you're talking about.
And this person's just a phony person. I have no patience for this person.
Yeah. Look, I mean, I understand it's Tim. You know, I mean, Tim gets on my nerves as much as everyone else. But
well,
you know.
Tim, I definitely don't want him touching me anymore after the story he told last time.
I mean, yeah, he's got the dog that dog scent on him, and
Tim, that's not my shoulder, Tim. I have no problem pooping, Tim. Leave me alone.
You're sitting on the floor. I saw you, Jack. You're dragging.
I didn't have a bidet. I don't have a I don't have a squatty potty bidet.
Oh.
Anyway. So this guy, after, so have you seen him since, or?
No, that was 2 weeks ago, and I went went to the same bar again because I do enjoy the bar. It's a good Irish pub, and they have a lot of Irish food, cabbage,
fish and chips
and sausages and things. So it's right up my alley.
Okay.
Lots of good dark beers.
Not a fan of dark beers, but the fish and chips.
Well, I like a Smithwick's, which is spelled Smithwick's, but it's pronounced differently. Because it's a red, it's a dark red, and it's got a good neutral taste to it. It's not heavy like Guinness or some other ones. So
I don't like the heavy tasting beers.
Yeah, it's not heavy at all.
I don't like drinking syrup.
To me, I'd much rather have one of those than a very hoppy beer. That's just like, ugh.
Yeah, I don't like IPAs. A lot of people love them. I've never been a big fan. But yeah. I do like, you know, that's one of the things I do like about California is there's a lot of breweries. And you can go in and get a flight of all their beers and try them out and go, I like this one, I like this one. And it's nice. And usually they're pretty cheap to get all those samplers.
Exactly. I mean, San Diego, it's the craft brew mecca of
capital
the world.
Of the world.
Yeah. But yeah.
Lousy sports teams. We got beer.
Lots of beer.
Can't sign our first round pick. We got beer.
You're not bitter at all, Jack. Not at all.
That's just fucking stupid. you have an election. You have an election coming up. You're trying to get public on your side after a year of telling people, hey, we're fucking moving to L.A. Oh, L.A. doesn't want us? All right, we'll stay here, but you got to build us a stadium. Hey, let's have this vote. Oh, we're not going to sign our first round pick. Fuck you.
Anyway.
You know, they're playing.
Who's running? Is Trump running the campaign there?
I don't know.
Anyways, Nick, any other thoughts?
And we lost to Tennessee.
Who?
Chargers. They played Tennessee Saturday.
Oh, wow. That's really sad.
It is.
But, yeah, again, the Rams, you're playing not too far. We're playing down at USC Stadium, at least for these next two seasons, so I can catch some Rams games pretty easy.
I think three seasons.
Three seasons, okay. Looking forward to that. It's only about three stops on the subway from where I'm at. So,
really?
Yeah.
You don't have a car yet over there?
No, I got a car, but you think I'm going to drive in downtown L.A.?
Yeah, don't play me.
Come on, Jay. We talked about that earlier in the show.
You're right. I'm sorry. I'm an idiot.
Well, thanks for paying attention, Jay.
No, I heard it. Dang it. All right. Any other thoughts, gentlemen, before we close out the show today?
Jay wants to go.
No, we're an hour and a half in. I'm just calling.
Hey, I have no problem. I know you like to rush people along.
Oh my God.
Ridiculous. I know you're a busy man. Ooh, I got so things busy to do.
All right.
Google
couldn't
survive without me. I gotta go.
All right, guys. Well, that is it for this week's show. I want to thank our patrons that make it possible. If you'd like to become a patron today, you can do so over at patreon.com/janejack or go to janejack.com, click on the become a patron link. Big thanks to Tack from Tokyo, Eckhart Richter, and Brad from Chicago.
Chicago.
If we hit 1,000 monthly, we get a live Married Man with all four guest hosts.
Yeah, and that's the most popular Married Man show of all time is the one Jack and I were on. So
that's not of all something. Time since we came back.
So very exciting stuff.
how is it popular? Was it the fact that Nick's mom used to scare the shit out of him at night?
Why Nick's broken today.
I should talk more about my mom. Apparently that's a hit.
It was. I was listening to that and I almost felt sad. I felt sorry for you. But then I said, it was at times.
Let's just say I have a lot of issues because of my mother. She's a good woman. But if I start bringing this stuff up, she will cry. I was just having fun. I wanted to be a fun mom.
Why did you keep wetting your bed? Ah, wake up, Nick.
Oh, man. all right. Well, that is it.
Do we have a sponsor, Loot Crate?
Oh, we do. If you want to sign up today for Loot Crate, get $20 or $45 of geeky goodness for less than $20 a month. Each month has a special theme. Jack, what is this month's special theme?
Oh, this one's the best of all.
Okay.
This one, you open it up and you get a longer podcast because Jay's not on it. I really didn't have anything, but hey, we're also going to be we're going to be you can buy your stuff through Amazon through us eventually when we redo the website.
That's cool. Good stuff there.
I signed up for Amazon. How long ago, Jay?
A while ago. Did you figure it out?
I figured it. All we do is put the link on there.
Okay, just put the link on.
You got merchandise on there or what?
You can buy your whatever you're buying through Amazon. You buy it through us, and we get a percentage back to the show.
Oh, that's nice.
Well, we'll get the link on there then.
Well, you said I couldn't do it because my grammar sucks, so I sent you something on there, and no one ever responded to it.
Listen, there's two types of people in this world, Jack. People that say they're going to do something and people that do something. Do you want to? Which one are you? Okay.
I'm the say I'm going to do something, and I don't deny that. I said I was going to do that.
All right, well, figure you know our website director.
I said I'd climb Mount Everest, but I haven't done it yet.
But yeah, more stuff to come. So then when we keep talking about Squatty Potty, we'll have a link for you to actually buy the Squatty Potty. All right, guys, that is it for this week's show. We will see you guys next time. Nick, thank you again. Always a pleasure talking to you. Glad things are going well in the City of Angels. And
thank you.
We will see you guys next time. Hasta luego and goodbye.
Bye.